Thank you, Alistair and Mark. This morning, I'm just filled with a little bit of emotion and a little bit of nerves, even though I'm at home. I'm thinking back, I think it was late May, early June, when I was asked to sort of be the lay person from the congregation this year. I'm looking around. Jim did it one summer. Warren, you did it another summer. And I said, well, if I can talk about spiritual direction, which is work that I've done now for 20 years, then I'd probably be okay. This week I was thinking, somebody else could have spoken today. But you may have picked up already that my intention is for this to be a fairly contemplative, quiet, reflective type of service. So I appreciate Mark's support and Alistair changing what he was going to sing to fit in with the theme for today. And I have written this out, and there will be copies. I guess Rhiannon puts it on the website or wherever, quote, sermons go. This is anything but a sermon. It's a reflection, I guess, would be the best word. But I want to start with some background and history about what spiritual direction is, sort of spiritual direction 101, if you would say. And some authors define and describe what they believe spiritual direction to be in the Christian tradition, as something that began with what was called the Desert Mothers and Fathers, probably in around 300 to 600 AD in the Middle Eastern countries. And they left urban centers to go out looking for silence and a space to live a life of contemplative prayer, growing in wisdom and developing a deeper connection to the divine. And people then would come out to these hermits from the city, and they'd come periodically needing assistance in making life's decisions or seeking wisdom in the spiritual sense, wanting to grow deeper in their own lives and their own connection to the holy. And some authors would say that seeking spiritual counsel can be seen even earlier in the Old Testament, with stories of leaders like Moses, who guided the Israelites in their spiritual practices. The Queen of Sheba, she came seeking wisdom from Solomon. In the New Testament, we see Jesus in his conversation with Nicodemus in response to the question, like, how can I be born again, with the woman at the well and guiding her in the ongoing formation of Peter and the other disciples. So we see that type of spiritual guidance. And then we also see it when Peter wrote the epistles, guidance to the early churches in that first century after Jesus' death. And down the centuries since, the practice of spiritual direction, the way I understand it and have come to know it, flourished in the Catholic tradition in particular. Priests and nuns in their monasteries and convents being the primary source that people went to for spiritual guidance. Some of the known names would be Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, Ignatius of Loyola, Julian of Norwich. Those are just a few. And their writings are still an inspiration and turn up on curriculum even today when people are studying spiritual direction. In more recent times, the practice of spiritual direction has spread to the laity in both the Catholic and the Protestant tradition as well. It's also flourishing in other traditions, Buddhist, Jewish, Islamic, other Eastern philosophy religions. I belong to an organization called Spiritual Directors International. 6,800, I think, spiritual directors around the world. I think it's 40-something countries now in a wide range of spiritual traditions. And the previous executive director has written her definition of spiritual direction, and I'm going to quote that for you because I think it sums up what I believe for myself. Spiritual direction explores a deeper relationship with the spiritual aspect of being human. Simply put, spiritual direction is helping people tell their sacred stories. It has emerged in many contexts using language specific to particular cultural and spiritual traditions. Describing spiritual direction requires putting words to a process of fostering a transcendent experience that lies beyond all names, and yet the experience longs to be articulated and made concrete in everyday living. It's easier to describe what spiritual direction does than what it is. Spiritual direction helps us learn how to live in peace with ourselves and others, with compassion, promoting justice, as humble servants of that which lies beyond all names. End of quote. So spiritual direction is not counseling, it's not therapy. A lot of my training was learning the differences there. And I did do one unit of pastoral education, pastoral counseling with CPE, CAPE we used to call it, and I learned what the difference was, and I wanted to do spiritual direction. It made my heart sing in a different way than pure counseling did. So spiritual direction doesn't attempt to problem solve. It's simply, yet profoundly, the contemplative practice of helping another person or a group to awaken to the mystery that many call God, and to awaken to that mystery in their whole life, their whole living. The spiritual director in that case is simply a companion sought out by another person, a person who's desiring to attend to the holy, which is part of what I kind of titled this today. How do we attend to that within ourselves? And sometimes having somebody with us is a good thing. So that person comes desiring to know God or to see God, and often people come and that's not the name they use. When I start, I never ever say a name for God. I wait till I hear what they might describe or call God. So a director doesn't direct. I mean, it's kind of a strange word, spiritual direction, and then you spend 2 years learning that you don't direct. you're a witness to what the person is experiencing and offering sacred listening and authentic presence in each session. And people generally come about once a month. Can be different, but that's usually the pattern. And we're often referred to as spiritual companions, or spiritual guides or soul friends. That's other language you'll hear. So I believe I've been called to this ministry, and the heart of what I want to share today is a little bit of how that happened in my life. It all began in 1997. Did I say 77? It probably began in 77, but I wasn't aware. 1997, when I was at the height of my career in nursing and hospital administration, Eric referred to that. And my days were filled with very stressful senior management meetings, filled with budget cuts, requiring staff to do more with less, putting a brave face on that. I describe it as a time of moral distress for me because I had to announce layoffs and then put the caveat on, this is going to be good for patient care, because that was the message I was to go out with, and I found that really, really stressful. And I had other patient care departments in my portfolio, one of which was pastoral care, and I can remember clearly, even today, the director coming looking for me to sign off on him having some time off and some money, continuing education money, so he could take a course. And the course was in spiritual direction. And he left me with a brochure, and it was on my desk for a whole year. I'd pick it up, I'd read it, put it down, pick it up, read it. And after several months, I kind of went, I think even then I could go online and got the reading list, a copy of the reading list, and began to read the books. And felt myself drawn into this more and more, more and more. So my first step was to seek to see a spiritual director for myself. So I asked the director, did he know of anybody in Halifax? And sure enough, he introduced me to Ginny. And I began to see Ginny on a monthly basis. And my life began to take a new direction. And then late in 1998, when the hospital structure was changing, I was going to lose my job and have to apply for another one. Some of you have probably been through that kind of thing. I was turning 55. I think London Life Insurance had got me, you know, Freedom 55. So I opted to early retirement. And that sounds so simple, but it was a really difficult time when I look back. And seeing Ginny every month was very helpful. And I'll just stick with what I've written here. It helped me to learn more and more how to listen within my own heart for the spirits leading in my life, to learn more and more that I was fearfully and wonderfully made, Rhiannon read that in Psalm 139. To learn that I could trust myself, to know that I knew in that deep place of truth within myself that I was a beloved daughter in whom God was well pleased. And that was a miracle in my life, to come to that place. So I did apply to do the Jubilee program in spiritual direction for 1999-2000. And I just need to share one more little piece of how that also got formed in me. When I finished my working life, I was initially quite euphoric. No stress, no patients to worry about, no nurses to lay off. It was just a great sense of relief. But soon came the question, okay, what am I supposed to do now? And of course, that do was probably in the shape of, okay, what kind of job do I look for now? I became aware through my times with Ginny that I needed to go on a personal retreat. And I asked the Catholic sister at the hospital, did she know of a place where I could go where I couldn't escape? Because my head, I was thinking I need to go for a week or two, and if it got overwhelming, I'd probably just pack it in and come home. And she said, what about Iona? And I know Mark knows about it because he was just there recently. And I said, what's Iona? I had no idea what she was talking about. It's an island off the west coast of Scotland. And it's a very spiritual place, quite a long history there. Christianity came from Ireland to the British UK with St. Columba probably in 563 to that island. So I got there in late October, early November, blustery, cold, rocky, fantastic. And I remember going on the pilgrimage walk, and about the 10th day that I was there, sitting on the Martyrs' Beach, black stones, a history there of some of the monks being slaughtered many years ago, and just asking that question, what am I supposed to do? And there was a voice as clear as anybody's voice, said, the work I want you to do will be gentle. Looked around, not a soul in sight anywhere. I exclaimed out loud, what the hell does that mean? Pardon my language in church, but I remember saying that. And that I didn't realize until later, that the work I was doing in studying spiritual direction was, I had to learn to be gentle with myself, so that when people came to sit with me, I could help them understand and come to the place of the loving and accepting and gentling of towards themselves. So after 2 years of several residencies and lots of reading and writing papers and beginning to offer people spiritual direction under supervision, in 2000, I was able to use that designation. And since that time, both in Nova Scotia and Hamilton and now in Toronto, I've continued to see people who make themselves known to me and have come seeking to deepen their awareness of God, however they know and name that mystery in their life. So I believe my role as a spiritual director is to be an encourager, to listen with a discerning heart to what is often unsaid, to ask the open-ended, evocative question that may point the person to a deeper knowing of themselves, and to come to the place where they know that self to be a grace-filled, whole person. So one sentence does not do justice to the ups and downs, the low moments of not knowing, the high moments of deep insight when I understood God was calling me to a more contemplative way of being. So I asked for Psalm 139, thank you, Alistair, where God had to make me lie down, make me slow down, make me attend to the inner life, so my soul could be restored. And I came to learn that I needed a more meditative, quiet heart type of prayer, just to be still and know I am. So in conclusion, Ginny, my first spiritual director, taught me early that the more I knew myself, the more I would know God. And the more I knew God, the more I would know myself. And today, after 20 years of walking the path towards knowing myself and finding the deep peace that comes from discovering the truth that I am one with all that is, I can only say thank you to her and the other directors I've seen and continue to see on a regular basis, and offer a prayer of gratitude for the enabling spirit that spoke that day on Iona and led me into the life-giving ministry of spiritual direction.